God, for this time of worship before you where our hearts are tendered, knowing that we desire to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, God. We thank you, Lord, that you were here in the beginning. You are the beginning, and you are the end. And you're opening us up, God, to see the bigger places, the bigger heavenly heart of places that you have for us, Jesus. And that you're looking for us, God. You're searching and searching to know us, searching to find the hungry ones, searching to find the ones who will say yes under all circumstances, the ones who will not be distracted, the ones who will say, this is my life, you're my life. And that would be our kingdom heart and our kingdom perspective above all else. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, God. Just celebrate you this morning, Jesus. Just celebrate you so. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus, that you're our focus, Jesus. You're our focus, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our desire in this place, guys, is to elevate and to sing to and respond to the name of Jesus. And this morning, as we just continue, hey, guys, you want to listen up over here? Hey, guys. Guys. Thanks. I just want to draw attention to the King of all kings, Jesus Christ, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for participating in what he's doing and what he's drawing. And I think that this is a season that's upon us. It's really helpful for us to be able to see what we can do and to see what we can contend for that's way above anything that we've ever seen or contended for before. This is a new day. This is a new season. This is a new realm of glory. And I know that in this time that God's drawing our hearts to say yes and amen, something new and something fresh. I know that in Kingdom Kids on Tuesday, I know that Pastor Bill was talking to the kids and he was singing with the kids. And as he was singing songs that he's written to the Lord, that he was inviting the children to listen to the words of the King, and he was inviting the children to listen with their spirit and respond to the Spirit of God with the words that they could pick out, that they were being touched within their heart. And at that point, then they would write those words down, and then he would incorporate them in his prophetic singing over the children. It was really powerful. And then Rachel told the story of Esther, the account of Esther, and the children acted that out. And as I was thinking about all of that, we had a couple of our precious ones overnight on Friday night, Jude and Josiah, and I was thinking about the time that we were just preparing for bed and just talking about Esther and talking about what it was like, talking about what it might have been for her in that season. You know, as a young girl being taken out of her home and away from the ones that loved her and then put into something that wasn't at all what she thought her life would ever be, and how she had to say yes in her heart and call on God even as a young girl. And it was really something, you know, see their little faces, look up and listen to what someone had to go through even at a young age, to make a decision to listen to and to connect with Jesus. And I said, Jesus, before he came. And what I thought was really interesting about that was a question that Judah and Josiah said that they had. It was actually Josiah had the question, right? Why did Peter get rebuked by Jesus? That was a question, you know, late at night. Why did he say, get behind me, Satan? And that was in the hearts, and that had nothing to do with what we were talking about at all. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. So we're sitting on the floor with all the pillows and blankets, so you know how that goes. And it's like, Jesus, I want your heart to come through as I talk to these little guys, young guys, and I share your heart with them of who you are, Jesus, how big you are, how amazing you are, and how you so desire that their hearts would connect with you in this very moment, as I have a responsibility to convey you to them. It was a holy moment. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. Why would Jesus, our King Jesus that we sing to and we bless his name, why would he say those words that are so strong? Why? And what were they meaning? And then we talked about the various things that come into our minds, in our hearts, even these little guys who are sitting on the floor. All of us, all of the ideas, the thoughts that are we're blasted with in our life. And you know what? There's only one thing that Jesus wants to come and stay in our minds and in our hearts and in our thinking. And those would be the words that he would breathe on and that he would say, that's me. That's my heart. That's what I say. That's who I am. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Because I am your king. And anything other than that, even for the little ones, anything other than that is not what he intends for us to hold to, because he's so kind. So when he comes in and strongly, boom, says something, get behind me, Satan, to the one who said, I'll follow you, to the one who said, I will never leave you, to the one who said, I'll do anything you say. And then he gets those words. Why? Because those words were meant to come and pierce through, go right through the intensity of what Peter was feeling and thinking and so sure of in his heart. And they were strong. And you know what it did? It disarmed the enemy coming toward him. And not just for him, but for all of us. And I said to the guys, I said to Judah and Josiah, I said, what would have happened if Peter would have listened to not Jesus, but what was in his mind, his heart, and his thoughts? What would have happened? Think about that. He was trying to tell Jesus he didn't need to go to the cross. It's okay, we've got another way. He was trying to tell Jesus that. You don't have to have these bad guys come and do these things. It'll be different. But Jesus was telling them, this is what is up. He was telling Peter that. But Peter didn't understand and couldn't grasp it. Didn't know. But Jesus knew what was behind all those words to distract Peter from his real mission. I explained that and much more as they peacefully went to sleep after that eventually. But what can we do when these thoughts, when these ideas, when these emotions rise up? What can we do? When we know that we've got someone who wants to disengage, disarm, end the very thrust that's coming against us to stop us from being who we were designed to be. But if we as parents and grandparents and friends and spouses and others, if we can't see those things, we just have a real enemy that laughs at us. So I exhort us all today in the name of Jesus to sing out together, I will love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all my mind, all of my strength. If we can just kind of go for that again here, please. Can I just invite you just to be on your feet? Children, I'm inviting you to stand up and listen. And if Jesus is your Lord and your King, that we would invite him to take us to that place of celebration, that we would love him with everything inside. And there's no child too young, because they're spiritual little people. And you can breathe right into them, and they'll hear your words. They'll listen to your heart. They'll see your intensity for Jesus. They'll follow your love. Let it be. Let it be that we would love you, Jesus, with everything inside, and nothing stops us. Let's put away what happened before we got here, how long it took, or any commotion. Let's just sing out to Jesus, I will love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my might, all of my strength. Lord, our hearts are open, desiring, receiving from you, King of Kings. Love you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We love you. Everything inside.
Jesus. Let's just quietly and gently take the children, let them go right into kingdom land while we pray. We just thank you, Jesus, for your special heart this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Thank you, God. You are a resting place, Lord Jesus. You are the one God that our eyes are upon. Nothing else matters. At the end of the day, nothing else matters. What we think, what we feel, what our emotions scream, whatever, doesn't ultimately matter in eternity. God, the only thing that remains is our connection with you. Use these places in us, God. Use these parts. Use this makeup that you've given us to be avenues of connection to your voice, with your voice. May that be for us, God, this morning. May that be, Lord. There are so many things you want us to see, so many things and places that you want us to receive and go. Lord, you want to expand us and our horizons. You want us to know you, to really know you and the power of your resurrection, and understand and share and contend and be part of the fellowship of your sufferings, Lord, that we would attain to the resurrection of the dead as we're being conformed to your likeness, God. And nothing else remains, Lord. Nothing else from here to eternity, Lord. It doesn't mean anything ultimately, Lord. Only what is birthed and remains and is watered from heaven. Nothing else, Jesus. Lord, this is a small speck in the scheme of eternity. Let us live for you, Jesus, with everything inside, with the fire of the Holy Ghost upon us. As you recalibrate our mind, our will, and our emotions in a deeper way, Lord, that we would say yes to you and say, I'm coming. I'm coming into your arms. You're waiting for me, Jesus. I'm running into your arms of love, God. I will go where you say to go. I will be a sent one. I will go to the deepest, darkest places. I will not stay the same. My heart is for you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let that fire rage in us today, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 That you are our first priority for our time. You are our first priority for our resources. You are our first priority for our affections. You are our first priority for our decisions and in them. You are our first priority in our relationships. You are the first in our life in every practical way. In every practical way that we can only become who your word and what your word says as we believe it for ourselves. Increase us this morning, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus. Before I turn the mic over to Pastor Bill here, if there's anyone in here that's been burning at all for Pastor Jacob, I have an update, and it's amazing. I'm not going to give it. I don't feel called to give it right now. Next Sunday, perhaps. But if that's burning, if he's burning in your heart, and you have been praying and contending for him and his world and his life, I've got something for you, and you can have that. Just see me. Let me know, and then I'll give you what he tells me to give you next week. It's amazing. He's so good. So bless you, bless you, bless you. This is a great day. I'm excited. What the Lord's doing. He's been wrecking me more and more, as my husband knows. And over the last week, some of you have been reading Surviving Your Wilderness, and it goes along with last Sunday's message. And so, and what God's doing in this hour. And I'm getting feedback from people saying, oh, the Lord's really speaking to me in certain particular areas. It's such an encouragement for me. So we have a few left. If you want one for your family unit and you don't have one, if you'd like, you're more than welcome to have one. This is from Daniel Kalenda, who gave the final word at Azusa, Cleveland, which was powerful. And these were given to all the leaders. And the wilderness is a place where there are fiery trials and things, which is the life of all of us, right? So you can let me know that too as well when Pastor Bill is finished. But, oh my gosh, what is this? You never know what he's going to bring in. I didn't see that. Wow. Well, bless you. And if there's anybody who's thinking of going to Awaken the Dawn and Rise Up, which is October 6th through the 9th, the 9th is Sunday or Monday, and this is the biggest holiday season, just for whatever that's worth, in Washington, I was told. And so there are going to be people everywhere coming for the, what is it, President's Weekend? Columbus Day, sorry. I'm going to do better on that. Not President's Weekend, Columbus Day, but anyway, that is the biggest. There'll be tourists, there'll be people from all over. And so Frontline already has two places. In the Ohio tent, there will be 50 tents on the mall, and those 50 tents represent our 50 states, and we have two places for worship, two times already, and Carly's not here. Let's see. Cynthia's not here. Sorry? Jamie's here. Okay. And she can, he said, what? Afterwards. Okay. You can see her afterwards for more of that, and then she'll say more about it. But really, we're making plans for a lot of different things. So if you're planning on going for any or all of it, let us know. It would really be helpful. There's a good bunch of you already, so maybe you can bunch up, I don't know, and figure out if you want to do this. But it starts Friday and goes through Monday. Monday is the Rise Up, which is where they're expecting 500,000 to 1 million people on the mall, and particularly to raise up Esthers and Deborahs in this nation for this appointed time, but other things as well. And so it's really amazing. There's also a regional tent, which will have 10 different regional tents, I should say. And am I right on that? Is it 10 or 12? How many regional tents? 12 regional tents, and two of them, there's an international tent and another one, and we're trying to see if that will work, if we can get a spot. I don't know if they're already closed up or not, but we're contending for that, for a spot of worship for the international tent. And then the other tents will be for regions around the nation, in addition to the 50 states. So that's really cool. Okay, well, this looks like fun. I want one of these. How many of you guys do this stuff? Wow. I love kayaking. It's so cool. I don't do much of it, but I do like it.
There you go. I'd like to move back with the rest of the congregation because this is about where it starts these days. Well, I haven't seen some of these people's faces this close in a while. I'll have to move up one more notch, maybe next time. Father, we thank you, God. You're faithful. Boy, do we count on your faithfulness. Over and over again, we count on your faithfulness. And Lord, we need revelation in these days. We need your powerful revelation in our life. God, so many are confused in these days. You predicted it. There would be so many taken out of their first love, so many confused, so many that don't tremble at your word. Thank you, God, that these people here today, this morning, still morning, they tremble at your word, Lord. They want to. They desire to. Thank you for that. I pray that I might tremble more at your word. But God, we have to come out of confusion. We have to step into what your word says. After we tremble, we have to obey. After we tremble, we have to trust your principles used by your Spirit to be the way of life. Jesus, teach us. Teach us in these days by your word, your Spirit, by all the various means of communication you say will increase in these last days, dreams, visions, pictures, all the things that maybe we have a hard time trusting that they could be from you. Help us step in fully, jump in, dive in to what you have for us, God. Confusion, go. Dullness, go from our lives, Lord. The enemy is a master at confusion, but Jesus, you are the master. Yes, Lord, you can straighten us out, Lord. We don't want the sun darkened in. Jesus, shine brightly. Bring revelation to our hearts. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have a quote, and we'll put that up. Quite a few years ago, there was another quote that is embedded in this one, so I expanded it. Alignment with heaven begins with honoring the Father, his chosen leaders, and other believers in a relationship of unity and covenant, which inevitably results in multiplied favor. We used to say honor. Alignment. Favor. You start by honoring those in your life. Men who honor is not just the men who should be honoring, and they shouldn't just be honoring the men. In the men who honor, they should honor all the relationships that God tells us to honor. First him, above all, and then honoring others, each other. honoring leaders in the body of Christ, honoring those that are in government up to the point where they honor God, and maybe a little bit beyond that. But we can't honor them if they dishonor God too much. It's very hard. We'll have to make a break with them and take the consequences many times. But there are so many relationships we're supposed to honor. Honor husband and wife. All of us could use lessons in that. Greater and greater. We'll come into alignment with heaven then. We honor the Father's chosen leaders, other believers, in relationships of unity and covenant. We'll come into alignment with heaven because of the covenants that we keep with one another, not contracts, which can be broken, renegotiated, but covenant with one another. What's missing in the body of Christ so often is covenant. No one wants to covenant. Everyone wants to be a lone ranger, freelancer, free agent. Everybody would like to be a free agent. And it's not the season for free agents. It's the season for covenant. We have to covenant more now than ever because the last days are either here or on our doorstep. And there will be those right here, and there have been those right here that have fallen away. Now, how's that possible? Well, we're saying, come into the presence, worship God, put him first, put others first. And all the teachings we've had about covenant and honor and where that gets you, favor. What that brings to you, favor. And yet people still take a different path at times. That's serious. So we need to address that, and I think the Lord is going to do that this morning. So we'll pass out these papers. And you'll say, okay, where's the scriptures? They're embedded, and they'll come at the end as well. Alignment with heaven begins with honoring the Father, his chosen leaders, and other believers in a relationship of unity, which we've had a lot of words on unity that needs to increase in these days of revival. Covenant, which means we have to actually get close. We have to allow each other to know each other. We have to decide, make some tough decisions for the best rather than just the good. And then there'll be multiplied favor, and it might not look like the kind of favor that we might say, oh, I wish I could have a more of that. There might be some suffering mixed in with it. There might be some real challenge mixed into it. There might be persecution mixed in with it. But there'll be a favored relationship with our Father that will supersede all of that and make it look like we're suffering very little. So here we are with a number of small crafts, small boats in a list at the top. And I shared with the men who honor last weekend that I had a picture while we were having men who honor, because I'd already seen the video, so I just didn't listen to that. No, I did, but I had a picture during the men who honor session, and I kind of shared a brief synopsis, but God kept adding to this picture in my heart, and I thought, well, I don't just want to share a picture with these people. I mean, what if they think I made it up? Then they could easily dismiss it. What if the thing has no value? They could easily just bypass it. But then I thought about some of the pictures in this ministry that have changed the course of where we've where we've headed. Some of the meetings that we had early on. Number one, should we go to the nations, the leaders? Yes. Number two, where do we go? And we figured that out. How many times should we go? I went to sleep in one meeting. I fell asleep. The meeting was, you know, the leaders are there, but I'd had a, whatever, long day. I fell asleep during the leaders' meeting. When I was still awake, we were going to one country. When I woke up, we were going to two countries. I never fell asleep that deeply again at a leaders meeting because we doubled everything while I was asleep, and I was supposed to be in charge of the meeting. So this is what happens. Don't be dull. Don't fall asleep. Be wide awake this morning. You never know how it could be doubled in your life. I saw a picture of each of us. Each of us. Not somebody out there. Each of us circling around one another in one of the small watercraft listed above. Maybe you see yourself in one of these. We were in rather close proximity to one another, so we could communicate and help one another if one of our vessels sprung a leak or capsized. We've had a bit of that in our history. Helped one another. Took our little kayak over to your dinghy, and we helped you out. And you brought your little dinghy over to my kayak, and you helped me out. It's a good thing. Then I saw lighted buoys were lined up in the harbor to show the proper course to safely exit the harbor and to then navigate the open seas to other lands. The challenge seemed to be for the captains of our individual boats to agree to travel together to navigate the same course. We were simply circling around each other, with every sailor saying he believed that he knew the admiral's desired course for his own vessel. Couples and families together in a vessel complicated the process even further as competing voices, loyalties, and personal preferences impeded progress even further. The powered boats would try to take the lead, but they were forced to wait for the other boats to line up to follow them. Often jealousy, bickering, offense, and rebellion would break out because some wanted to lead the group of boats without manning a powered watercraft or other assorted issues and problems. There definitely was a lot of confusion, and it was rather easy for one or more of the boats to drift off by themselves to take a course away from the others. It became increasingly difficult because there was no true consensus on who should be allowed to take the lead for the assorted collection of vessels. Additionally, it was hard to see the pattern of the buoys that showed the clear path to exit the harbor, since the boats were all close to the surface of the water, and with the constant circling, they inevitably were in each other's way. Pirates were often blamed for their fabled attacks on the innocent vessels, but most of the time, the pirate ships were out in the open seas with the crew members laughing at the naval catastrophe that they observed in the harbor, protected by the admiral. The royal admiral's ultimate intention for his people was rarely considered. He had already designed a seaworthy sailing ship and handpicked the captain and crew to lead the sailors from the individual smaller boats. It had been his plan all along that the smaller crafts were simply a way to travel out to the mothership to board the larger vessel. His desire was for all hands to be on one deck in covenant relationship with one accord, in unity with the admiral, the captain, the crew, and the other sailors, arm in arm together agreeing to sail the larger vessel on the chosen course while being able to confront the challenges of the open seas to reach foreign lands. One ship, with all hands on deck fulfilling the various roles on board, captain, first mate, crew members, and sailors, including rigging experts, battery personnel, navigators, engineers, stewards, cooks, lookouts, a cabin boy, deck swabbers. And yes, that is a word. Swabber. It's good to be a swabber on deck. And sailors, all under the overall command of the honored admiral of the fleet, was the admiral's dream. There were no passengers simply along for the ride, only crew and sailors cooperating and collaborating for naval success. Like the systems and organs of the body working together for the ultimate functioning of the body, the ship could sail true by catching the perfect and powerful winds and currents as everyone worked together to properly position the billowing sails and carefully angle the rudder. It was the admiral's plan that the captain be given the royal spyglass. Royal spyglass without the caps. Or as my grandchildren would. Lost my place. Mm-hmm. You have a different copy than I have, but thank you. It was the admiral's plan that the captain be given the royal spyglass to clearly see the pattern of buoys in the harbor and what was ahead in the open seas to successfully reach peoples in other lands. On this ship, mutiny need not be considered as an option because everyone could trust that this favored vessel with its blessed crew of sailors would reach its destination without running aground reefs or sandbars near shore and without striking icebergs in the open waters or being commandeered by evil pirates. It had the ability to sail into the deepest waters by handling rough roiling seas and contrary crossed winds, because every person on board was committed to listen to the executive crew led by the admiral's wisdom. Impossible obstacles were overcome in less than ideal conditions by sacrificing personal preferences and agendas for the good of all. Every person had the attitude of not leaving even one behind and supporting the welfare of others above his own. Since mutiny was considered as personal betrayal of the magnanimous admiral, no one expected that any person would ever have to walk the plank because of disobedience, division, or rebellion. How anyone could possibly think that any plan other than the royal admiral's obvious brilliance could safely lead his admiring people out of the harbor to adventures in the open seas and faraway lands in need of his wise and benevolent rule is beyond comprehension. Okay, I would like your comments on what we just read through, and if you need to read sections before you comment. Go ahead and do that. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a criticism. Let's hear it all. Lay it out. Be brave, be tall. Say something, it'll be a short message, and that would be tragic.
I'll say something. So the Lord actually has dealt with me on this subject to the fact that my desire is to always lead and to be at the top and to be up front because of insecurity. and because I, you know, it's a matter of not feeling valuable in who I am. And so to feel valuable, I have to look valuable. And I think there's a lot of that in the church. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who doesn't feel valuable. right? So, you know, somebody's of me like, well, there's a lot of need out there, and there's a lot of just hurt in so many different areas. And the idea of all of us being in our own boats and trying to accomplish the will of God is just absurd, because we would never have enough momentum, enough power, enough energy, enough resources to do it ourselves. But, you know, that whole exponential growth and thing that, you know, a lot of other people talk about, I mean, there's truth to that. You know, like when we work together under a common goal and a common lead and lay yourself down. And I share this with a buddy of mine. He's like, I love to follow. Like, I have no problem with that at all. I'm like, that's cool, man. Like, but for me, it's a little harder. But you know, we like lay it down and say, okay, I'm going to do what the Admiral says. And I'm going to hook up with that. It reminded me of the body of Christ and how it's the same thing. There's one head and one head only. There can't be any others. And if I'm trying to be the head, that does not work. So I have to align myself as another part of the body and let him use my other giftings how he wishes and what he desires, and know that that's a good thing, because I'm allowing the Lord to use me how he created me and what my giftings are, but that gifting is not the head. And so I think that's a very good thing, because, right, it's hurtful and it's painful. And if I'm trying to walk in a role that I'm not supposed to walk in, I'm going to hurt a lot of people, you know? Because it's like if I'm trying to do something, I think, you know, that speaks to a lot of folks who may try to do their own thing and weren't really called to it, but did it because they felt they wanted to or needed to. It creates a lot of hurt and a lot of confusion for a lot of folks, not just themselves, but maybe people then they're, you know, affiliated with, because they're then following somebody who shouldn't have been leading in the first place. And it really messes things up, and it doesn't really accomplish the will of God.
Just comment on that. Comment. Probably early on in your Christian experience, and maybe even farther, you won't be asked to do what you want to do. You'll probably be asked to do something you don't really want to do. Why, I would like to speak up front of the church, and you're asked to do, could you clean the toilets on Thursday? And that's the test. It's all ministry to God. It's a test of our hearts. Are we willing to serve him, or we want our own way that it looks? So early on, especially, you'll be asked to do things you don't really want to do. So that's where he trains you in the submission. You submit to your leaders, and they're seeing the whole picture. And, you know, if they're on track with Jesus, by the way, if there's leaders that really aren't on track with Jesus, there's a way out. But people take the way out with people that are on track with Jesus. And that's a problem for them. The people on track are going to continue on track if they're really after Jesus. It's the people that we'll talk about, you know, that in a minute, but that go off to the side on their own deal, they're the ones that lose. They really do. Okay.
Well, I know when I first moved out here to Ohio, I had a pretty good idea of what leadership looked like, what missions was supposed to look like, what community was. Well, I had no idea what community looked like because I didn't have that. But I had a really good idea of what leadership was supposed to look like. And I remember many of the first few trips that I went on, and the train wreck that I found myself in again and again and again, as I came butting up against leaders over and over again. And because I had this very, very clear idea of what things were supposed to look like, how it was going to be effective if we did it this way. And I found myself just going, why aren't we doing it this way? And over again, as time went on, I realized that I really was just in my own ship, doing my own thing, and trying to launch that into an environment that I had no idea. And over the years, what I've been learning is that this community approach to missions and really life is absolutely essential. At any point in time, I could have launched again and gone out and done my own thing, you know, followed the ambitions of my heart. And over again, I kept coming back to that same place. But if you do that, you're just going to be back in the same boat that you were in before, and there was no fruit, and the whole reason why you came out here was to join community, was to get into a place where people were fasting and praying and seeking God's presence and then going after people. And I didn't have that where I was. I didn't know how to develop it myself, but I knew I had a desire for it. And so when I see something like this, it's so true to life, because I remember some of the first times. Once something so simple, it was my responsibility to start a fire and cook breakfast one morning. We were overseas. And one, I knew how to start a fire. I didn't need anybody's help for that. But I didn't know how to start a fire with wet wood, no flame, and how to boil water on a pot. And so me and another person pretty much had it out that morning. And by the love of God, one of the mamas in the village came with a coal and a plate and pretty much said, hey guys, we'll show you how to do this. First and foremost, we'll start with a coal, not wet wood. And I remember looking back at that going, man, oh man, there's something bigger here. And that's one thing I continue to learn over and over and over again, especially in, you know, kind of being asked or led into that leadership role, where I realized, oh my goodness, is this what those guys were going through when I was butting up against them? They were really under the big test. I didn't really have hardly any responsibility but to follow, and I had a hard enough time with that. And so it's been a beautiful journey coming to a place where I realized, no, the leadership role is an incredibly humbling role, because now you're responsible to graciously shape other people or give them opportunity to be in that difficult place that you've been in. Can't think of a better place.
Sorry, reaching. Okay, you know, anybody that even acts like they're reaching. Some people go, I hope this is the right thing to do.
On the second page, where it talks about, it's before it says, additionally, it was hard to see the pattern of buoys that showed the clear path to exit the harbor, since the boats were all close to the surface of the water, and with constant circling, they inevitably were in each other's way. Pirates were often blamed for their fabled attacks on the innocent vessels, but most of the time the pirate ships were out in the open seas with the crew members laughing at the naval catastrophe that they observed in the harbor protected by the admiral. And what was stirring up in me is that sometimes if we're in those ships and we're in that place of not necessarily seeing and recognizing the vessel that's out there to take us to deeper waters, the contrast that I was just thinking is that sometimes we can be in our own individual boat and we think that we're on the big mission when there's a giant boat just beyond that we can get on to actually go into the deeper places that the Lord has for us to really, you know, explore what he has in the kingdom, to really take his gospel to the nations. But we're circling inside the harbor, and then we're thinking that the enemy and the pirates are attacking us, when really he's not. He's just observing because he's out in the deeper water to resist, you know. A pirate's, like it said in here, a pirate ship's not going to attack someone in the harbor. Well, there's not a need to because they're not going anywhere. They're just, and they think they're on a mission, and they're in the harbor the whole time. And so, I mean, that's challenging for all of us, because we could think that we're, you know, making headway, and, you know, oh, something must be happening because I'm getting attacked, when the enemy might not even be attacking us. It's just, we're not even out in the full purpose that the Lord has for us, and so obviously that's sobering. Because the last thing I would think I would want for myself is to get to the end of it and think that I was on this awesome mission, and, well, actually, there was a boat just further out that you could have gone on and, you know, really stepped out into the deep things that the Lord has. So,
part of this is just to encourage you. This is actually the third prophetic word I've heard this year regarding boats and setting sail. And one of them, the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year, not near as elaborate as this, but just to the effect that he is charting the course and setting sail and filling the sails. And then another one came forth from another part of a prophetic word from another pastor in the area, and then this. And I just really feel like reading this and just the level of detail the Lord revealed to you in this, that there is an urgency. That there is an urgency here for us to come together in that unity, because the Lord is ready to take off. He has charted the course. He's filling the sails, and he is ready to go. And I feel like we are in a season where messing around needs to stop, where we need to get our things in order. We need to get on his boat because he's ready to take off.
Addition. That's very good. There are others, I know. You're sitting there thinking, should I?
So you should. I think the last the last page struck out to me pretty good. I've been reading, Jamie and I have been reading the Wilderness book by Daniel Kalenda, and he was talking in one of the chapters about having others, being around other people, and it just spoke to me. The Lord was giving me a more of a revelation of that, and that even through a wilderness or through trials or through anything, that you can't do it alone. You know, not that that's our heart. I mean, you know, but just, you know, God's just showing me more of that in that last paragraph or second to the last paragraph. It says, every person had the attitude of not leaving even one behind and supporting the welfare of others above his own. Since mutiny was considered the personal betrayal of the magnanimous admiral, no one expected that any person would ever have to walk the plank because of disobedience, division, or rebellion. So just, you know, that we have each other's backs, you know, that we can, you know, have others look at the blind spots in us and us and others, and that we all need each other, you know, through any season. And I believe God's going to just increase our awareness in that, in this season, that in order to continue to move forward, we really do need each other, and we have to help each other move forward in that.
It's real this time. Now I have to jump over the kayak. I wouldn't have had to before.
It fits better now. So I've been meditating on an amazing proverb this week that I discovered at none other than Jimmy John's. Yes, there are many sing proverbs there, but it said, don't be afraid to try something new, that an amateur built the Ark, but a group of professionals built the Titanic. And I've been actually thinking about this all week. I didn't know about this, but You know, that, I mean, and the difference between the amateur and the professionals in this case is that the Lord told Noah to do it. The Lord told Noah to build the ark and how to do it. And, you know, it doesn't sound like he actually, I mean, like he said, you know, the length and everything, like, but the guy had never built a boat before. And, you know, so it's just amazing, this last paragraph, though, how anyone could possibly think that any plan other than the Royal Admiral's obvious brilliance could safely lead his admiring people out of the harbor to adventures in the open seas and faraway lands in need of his wise and benevolent rule is beyond comprehension. And I just thought that quote kind of fit in with that. God's ways.
Absolutely. Should have called me earlier.
Through reading this, I was thinking of the scripture about how we're all one body and the unity, and we're all connected together, and each one of us have a part that we're to play in. And some of us may be a heart, some of us may be a liver, some of us may be a tongue or an eyeball. You know, when you break it down practically to that, you're not going to say, or the eyeball is not going to say to the elbow, hey, I'm going to take your part just because I want to do that, or because it's something that I see that I value, where jealousy would want to come in and say, hey, I need to be that part because that's what I see that other person being elevated or lifted up, or how I want to do it, whatever that our human process of pride can be in that. And I also see that in the beginning, there was a clear picture where the lighted buoys were already set up. They were already established. But it was because the stepping in of the confusion of one person overriding the other person's voice and there being the complication that allowed the buoys to automatically be confused, and be the path that the Lord had set out was already disarrayed. But that yet the Father's heart and the Admiral's heart was still to believe in his children, still to trust in them that you're going to get through this because I'm here, I'm protecting you, even though the enemy's out there watching. I believe that the Father's heart was to come back to that place of humility, that if we just let go of our stuff that we're holding on to and we get the bigger picture and see who God has set apart to be those admirals, to be the captain, or to be the captains of each ship, that we come together in that place of unity. I have found on mission trips, the easier I let go, the easier it is. The harder I hold on, the harder it becomes.
The last paragraph, I think, on the second to last page, it basically says that on this ship, mutiny need not be considered an option because everyone could trust that this favored vessel with its blessed crew and sailors would reach its destination without running aground reefs or sandbars near shore and without striking icebergs in the open waters or being commandeered by evil pirates. It had the ability to sail into the deepest waters by handling rough, rolling seas and contrary crosswinds because every person on board was committed to listen to the executive crew lead by the admiral's wisdom. And essentially, there's actually like a, in Matthew, I believe, where there was like a teacher who wanted to follow Jesus and just say, I want to follow you. But Jesus responded, like, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has, like, no place to live. And what really stands out to me about what I just read is fully understanding, like, what it is you're about to commit to. More often than not, we typically focus on the good aspects of following God, but not really understanding the consequences and the trials and tribulations that you're about to face in the midst of being at one accord and pursuing the mission of Jesus. It's very just eye-opening just to view the whole picture of, yes, there's going to be blessings. Yes, there's going to be so many benefits of following Jesus and putting Jesus first, but realize that it's his plans that come first. It's looking out for people, and then your wants and your desires are like basically last. So your last, people, your neighbors come second, God comes first. So just understanding that in full perspective.
And that's on every advertisement on TV. It's all for God. It's not for your belly. It's not for your driving comfort. It's not the new pool. It's not the... no, not.
I just want to piggyback off of Teresa real quick and, you know, just like you shouldn't try to be an eyeball if you're an elbow and that kind of thing, like the importance of the different roles and what they do. And I like how you emphasize swabbing because I know, you know, in your message a couple weeks ago, we talked about last. I remember the last class that we had, Leaders as Servant Training, and you know, it's very important. Talking about insecurities and things, knowing that where God puts you in a place, you're important. You know, you're a piece of a really important piece of the puzzle, whether you're the person who swabs the deck or the one who's the lookout, or, you know, if an eyeball, you know, was put, you know, in the crease, it couldn't see anything, right? Or, I mean, you couldn't have an elbow to look out, you know? I mean, that's just crazy talk, but it's truth. Like, each person here and the role that they have here is very important to what God, the bigger picture of what God wants to do. And it's kind of cool because on Saturday, last Saturday, I got to teach The Edge, and that was a part of what I was teaching about value and worth, and like, you're important for the things that God has for the kingdom. Your part, your role is very important, and it's for you to be able to do that. And so, yeah, that reminded me of it.
Isn't it interesting that we have volunteer lists that we put out here for people to volunteer for what they would like to do to help? Can you imagine that if we had a person that just assigned things to you because you were so open to do whatever was needed, they just assigned it to you. They stood in the front and they said, okay, we have to pass out some assignments, and everyone, oh, me, let me do something. And then the person just designated person just passed out assignments. And okay, well, I'll change my schedule to do that for you. I'll pay the cost that it takes, because I'm gonna have to use gas money, you know, drive 2 hours to get that one done for what's needed, and so on. So, whole different way of looking at things, but that's exactly what Jesus does with us. He gives us assignments. After we receive him, there, you know, it's not a volunteer thing, it's assignments. We're supposed to be doing an assignment with joy, because it's the best for the body, it's the best for us.
The Lord recently gave me a picture of what we have here at Frontline, and I've recently been studying different business models and what it looks like to be successful in business. And the Lord showed me, you know, that Frontline is set up to make us so successful in kingdom living. Like, there's never a shortage of things to do and, like, outreaches to go. Like, it's so, the way that it's set up is, you know, if you want to be successful in the kingdom, here it is. It's laid out for you. It's laid out for us. And there is just a new appreciation in my heart of, like, and my eyes were open more, you know. I mean, truthfully, sometimes you get, like, there's so much to do, you know, constantly. I mean, sometimes you get frustrated in the busyness, or I have in the past. And, but God was just showing me, look, this is what you wanted. You wanted kingdom living, and it's right here. So why don't you step in? Like, why wouldn't anyone, I mean, if that's our heart to go to the nations, then why wouldn't we step in? It's just our fleshiness sometimes in the moment that gets in the way.
So. We decide as individuals, right? The way we're going to run our little boat, our little kayak, what the rules are, what would be overstepping. You know, if someone came along and said, well, you can't have that kayak right here, and you said, well, I think it's fine. You know, we have our own little rules for our own little kayak. But when you're on a ship, assignments are given out. You have a role that you have to take and fulfill, or the ship could be off course, or the sail's not filled up with the wind in the proper way. The rudder could be turned in the wrong direction. There were so many things that went wrong with the Titanic after being professionally designed that anything that went wrong would be handled. And it just didn't work. It was man's idea. And the church worldwide needs to wake up that we need to do God's idea about church and churches partnering together and so on. You know, we have been out in the open seas. We've gone to other lands. And there are some ships that we get with, they're still, you know, doing a lot of the circling around. At least we've gotten on a ship and gone to another land and know how it feels. We might come back to our own dinghy and jump off the ship and get in our dinghy again, but at least we've been on a ship that's gone somewhere and done something. Downtown, First Friday, you know, whatever, all the outreaches. That's exciting to me, that we aren't just circling around in this room trying to, you know, see if any of us knows the book of James better than another person. You know, I'll tell you what, some of you know the book of James better than I do. Great job. Now let's live it and see where it goes from there, you know? I mean, if it's about knowledge, knowledge puffs up and you end up in one room and you never go anywhere. And you say, oh, that guy knows the Bible. Great, we'll listen to him. Another Bible study, another book of the Bible. Nothing wrong with learning the Bible, knowing the Bible, knowing the book of James. I'm just saying, that's not God's priority. He wants us to live it. It's a letter, a letter for us to live out. So, you know, we can have our own rules for our own little craft, but often those rules don't fit in with what the admiral wanted, nor the captain waving us onto the ship. It's over here. Come over here to the ship, because the buoys are out there, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit leading us, godly counsel, challenging friends, not your whole list on Facebook, not the ones you like to hear from. Biblical Proverbs friends. Keep that one in mind. I used to leave that one off, and now I see with this present age, this is a key. Because some of the friends that we have, some of the buoys that they want us to go to are over here somewhere, tickling our ears with their advice and their really good opinions. A 21-year-old telling a 23-year-old, or a 23-year-old telling a 21-year-old, 2 years old in the spirit, that the pastor over here is out of whack. I mean, and the person goes, oh, they probably know something I don't. They're 23, and they're cool. They're not like that old guy or old person or whatever. Lies. They're over here. The buoys are over here. And people go, hey, I'm turning my little dinghy over here, when they're on their own. So often they're over there with the tickling ears. They like what they hear. Oh, this sounds juicy. This sounds good. But it doesn't follow the Word, the Spirit, counsel, and friends. So even if this person is intent on navigating through here, they're going to bump into other boats that are all confused. And they may end up listening to some things and going to some buoys way off the track and like it better. Over there, you're really free, you know, in their minds. You're free because you're not around here getting bumped into boats, you know. You go over there. Get away from all this mess here that you don't understand, this confusion. Over there, you don't feel confused at first. But it leads you astray. It leads you away. But even if you were to take your dinghy and go down that path, you're doing it by yourself in your own little vessel with your own little rules. And you don't submit him to anybody. You just go. And you try to navigate that way. So you get counsel once every 5 years, whether you need it or not, on some issue. And then you feel good. Hey, I asked some leaders about this. When was the last time you asked them something? 5 years ago. Yeah, and it went well for that one too. What'd you do in between time? Oh, I didn't involve them. It's my life. I don't want them to control me, after all. It's not my plan. This has always helped me. The Word of God can't go wrong. Holy Spirit interpreting the Word of God correctly, so it's not the letter of the law. Really good. Counsel helping me realize I need to go to the Spirit to have the Word interpreted. Ooh, correctly. Ooh, that's good too. Godly counsel. Many counselors, Proverbs says. Many counselors. Why many counselors? Because they're not all going to agree. And you have to really know the Spirit's voice. You really need to know the Word of God. Do you know that not all godly counsel agrees? And some of it is good. Both, everything you hear is pretty good. But it's unique decisions we make. So the godly counsel can be absolutely right on from this person and right on from this person, but who's the umpire? The Holy Spirit. What does he use? The Word of God. And now in this season, pictures, dreams, visions, just like Joel 2, Acts 2 talks about. How are you going to know how to even do anything with those dreams, visions, pictures, and so on if you're all new at it? You need some help. You need some guidance. Not someone can say, oh, yeah, that sounds to me like you should give $1 million to the church. Yeah. It's not that kind of thing. If there's leaders that are captain of the ship, they're under an admiral. And if you haven't heard us say it, we want what the admiral wants desperately. And as you're saying, it's the season that we quit playing the games. I mean, Azusa, just come on. All leading up to Azusa, all the rallies. I didn't have to be to Azusa to be fired up. I was fired up just by the rallies, by pastors getting together. And some just said, don't have the time to go to anything. Not even Azusa. It's tragic. Tragic. Because it's for real. It's coming. And we better know how to go through these buoys. Well, when you're in a big ship, you can hit those things easily. Because there's everything you need in the big ship. God designed it that way. Just like there's everything you need in the body to move forward and do things and live and affect others positively, the same thing in the big ship. But if you're in your own little dinghy, it's time to get out of the dinghy and get on with what God wants us to do together. Okay. Any pastor could give this message at any church and want people on the ship and doing more and all hands on deck and so on. Some of you are already doing that here. Okay, but some of us are in our own little dinghy. We're making up our own rules. We never ask anybody about anything. We just are around. We're around. We'll tell you when we're available, when we're not available. What if someone came and said, now you have an assignment? Well, then we're out of here. Well, that's what Jesus is saying to each of us. You have an assignment to fulfill. And it's on the big ship. It's in relationship, apparently, with these people. Unless you've not made that decision yet, which is fine. But we're supposed to be not arm's length from each other, but arm in arm with each other. And if we don't say this once in a while, we just kind of assume it. Oh, yeah, everyone knows I'm kind of there. I'm with you. I see the vision. Okay, it's not about me. It's not about Frontline's vision. It's not about that. It's about the admiral. It's about the admiral. We're just one ship. There are many ships, and we have to know how to relate to those ships in the fleet as well. And if we're having a hard time because too many of us are in dinghies and kayaks, it's very hard then to relate to another ship when we've reached out to many churches just to, let's do something together. Hey, we'll come to your stuff and see what you're up to. We'll help you with this. We'll help you with that. Oh, they like that. But then coming and relating the other direction is hard for them. And why? So many of their people are in dinghies and they're bumping into each other. They're not on their ship, even though they might, oh, this is the captain. He's the captain. He's the captain. But they don't see the admiral very clearly. And so they just kind of say, he's our captain. He tells us what to do and we do it. But one of the things that he's not seeing is you're supposed to relate authentically with other ships. And here we are. We're saying, hey, let's have a relationship. Let's do something together. And it's hard for them. So because the ship has sailed from here many times and gone many places, and many of you have jumped onto it, and you got out of your dinghies and you jumped on the ship, and we have accomplished some things, we know what it's like. And we have a lot to give to the body of Christ. But if we get in, you know, if we come back from those experiences, and how many of you have experienced this? You come back, you were all fired up on the mission field, or all fired up at First Friday and gave the testimony, talked about the healing up in front, and then that week, you jump back into your dinghy and had something come up that, well, you just couldn't relate to anybody else about it, or you didn't want to involve the people that you're on the ship with. So you decided, oh, I'll call over there to that dinghy or that ship over there and try to involve them because they don't know me. These people know me. And they might ask me to do something that's in line with the admiral because they know me. They know my needs. I'll go over to that ship over there. They don't know me. So if we don't give this challenge once in a while, we kind of think we're okay. You know, it's the frontline ship. But if you're just hanging onto a rope on the side, dragging in the water, I want you to know it's a lot better up on deck, even if you're just a swabber. If you're, you know, not experiencing the full joy of seeing the sails filled and amazing things happening with a person that we care about so much, Pastor Jacob and Ina, and you just kind of get used to their names, and it's like, again we have to hear about them. Something's missing, see? But if you're in joy, kind of on the edge of your seat, waiting to hear what the next chapter is for them, because they're a ship that relates to our ship. They've been on our ship. We've been on their ship. We've toured each other's ships. We've decided that we're going to be partners. We're going to be part of the fleet. If we can get whoever's related to us on the ship, we're going to have our ships head the same direction. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. And we have that with several ministries around the world. So I love it when Andy gets up and he says, can you believe it? We're with Pastor Samuel in Ghana, Africa. We have, you know, when he goes on and on and on. Same thing that happens when he talks about Israel. We need to say, yeah, that's where I want to be. I want to be that excited about those relationships. I want to be excited about our relationships in the fleet, under the admiral with other ships. But we want our ship shape so that it'll be easy to relate with us. And so that's kind of what this is about today. I have verses on the Word of God, on the leading of the Spirit, of the different types of communication in these days, on godly counsel, on true friends. I can give those out to anyone that wants those. We didn't exactly hit exact scriptures today, but I think you saw the scriptural principles. And those are sometimes the most challenging things because they're the interpretation of the Word of God. Some people read the Word of God and they start looking around. You know, they got the finger out. Okay, you're the one that's off. Instead of going, the Word of God is supposed to be pointing at us, and we go, ooh, I need to match up with that. Ooh, I need to tremble at that. I need to get in line with that. I need you, Jesus. Search me. As we've said in many messages, so we won't go through that again, but we're supposed to be looking at ourselves and saying, how do we not match up with this beautiful vision that you have for the church? And if I'm not matched up, and others aren't matched up, we're just going to go around in our dinghies and bump into each other, and maybe some of us are going to go over there to the side for the lies and the tickling of the ears and think we're fine while we're doing it. But I'm calling you all, as one of the captains, to the main ship. It's not a cruise ship. It has sails, for one thing. We have to do work. We have to labor. And we're calling for more laborers in the harvest field. And yes, one's outside this group so that you don't think all of it has to fall on your shoulders. And they're going to come in. They're starting to come in. Open your eyes to see. The laborers are coming in so we can be part of taking the last day's harvest. Some of them are from other countries. You might miss them. They're relating to us so close. They want to be here for this service today, but they're in another country. Open your eyes to see the laborers are coming in. And some of the ones that won't labor will leave. Serious. Serious business, isn't it? But we have joy because we're getting the picture. We're getting on the ship. We're going to do our part. We're going to jump in. Some of you already are. And that's awesome. The majority of you all already are. The rest, you know, we need to step up. And those that are need to say, ooh, have I done it with the right attitude? Have I done it with the right heart? I mean, it never ends for any of us, does it? And you can be assured that this hit me first. It hits me first. It hits me first. What kind of captain am I? Am I a serving captain, or am I a captain that likes to be served? Is that what this is all about? You all serving me. Me serving Pastor Mary Pat only because she needs her tea. Or is it about me being the servant to you all to get you where you need to be and help you get where you're going to be and have a part, and then other leaders doing the same thing? And you have so many fathers in your life spiritually, you're just abundantly, richly blessed. And then you can go forward with confidence with what God wants for your life. But you can be sure that your life, your individual life and accomplishments are weaved into this whole thing. It's not like, oh, well, you can't do anything significant. Again, you have to do it within the church. No, what you do that is significant is going to weave into what's here. And the people that have changed jobs this year, God's setting you up for something. He's putting you into place for the last big push. What does that mean? How can he do that? He knows how to weave it all in together. So you're in the proper spot doing the proper thing in the world while you're also supporting what the church is doing to go forward, and it all weaves together, and before long you're like, oh, sheesh. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it for me. What am I worried about? And the favor kicks in, and you shouldn't be so surprised because he's putting you where he wants you to be. It's not up to your accomplishments so far whether you get a particular job. It's not up to whether how hard you try to get into the interviewing process and how much you prepare. It's how much you pray. God, help me. I don't know what I'm doing in this area, and they're going to ask me about it. Guess what? They don't usually ask, because God has them under his hand. And he wants you in that place, and he'll put you there like he did Joseph. How do you come out of prison and become second in the land and, you know, vice president? Mike Pence was a governor before he became Mike Pence. No, he was a governor before he became vice president. But Joseph was in prison. How did he get from prison to vice president? A dream. And he didn't even have it. Wow. If God can do that, he is going to move you into position where he wants you to be. But you have to do it his way. You have to say, okay, I want all these things, all these buoys to line up. The only way to do it is his way, the admiral's way, not the way of the church of the past, not the way of us in the past, not the examples maybe we've seen in the past. But he is going to unleash the true church, the church without stain. He can't do it if you're going to stay stained and you don't want to be unstained. You got to go through the washing machine. I got a new washing machine this week. For several weeks I've been kind of, you know, doing some of Christie's. Well, she did some of it too, I admit it. I went to the laundromat a couple times. See, I was going to fix the machine by myself. It sat there looking at me. I had fixed one before, years ago. Then I got to thinking, how old is this machine? And they've sure upgraded the machines. Maybe we need a new way to wash. So I looked down the line, man, they're all different. I went over to Christie's and saw her spaceships. And I was like, well, we don't need that. I mean, they could go to the moon. Any of our kids get in there, man, they're not just going to go around. They're going to go to the moon. So I went to one. I was like, okay. And then it was such a great deal. I got the day where it was 10% off. Oh, 10% off, okay. Hit the right day. And it was appliance day across all the appliance, you know, providers. And so prices were low. Oh, man, this is great. I hit the right day. God, how'd you do that for me? You know, oh, that's awesome. So I decided to upgrade from the basic machine they had to the other machine. So the guys deliver it. Not, you know, we don't get many big deliveries at our house except for guitars. So we had this washing machine going to be delivered by Lowe's, and they come in a Penske truck. I was like, when did that happen? They don't even come in a Lowe's truck? So the two guys get off. They look kind of official, and they say, where do you want it to go? And I showed them, and oh, yeah, we'll take care of that, and so on. I said, well, you know, I didn't sign up to have that machine taken away. Can I have it taken away? Sure, that'll cost you. I said, well, I knew that. So I took my hands off of it, something I thought I could fix, and they put it on the truck, and they delivered the new machine. And the guy came in, and he went, yeah, this is what you do. So here, I'll start it on the easy cycle here so you can see how it works, and it also cleans out the machine. Bah, 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 bah. Had me sign something, he didn't give me a receipt, he took off. I was like, So later in the day, I'm thinking, okay, let's see. Let's review. I might want to register this machine. Let's review. I went through the stuff. Okay, we got the machine, got it hooked up. Wait a minute. There's supposed to be some kind of a special feature on there, a steam deal or something or other. That's the upgrade. I'm going to look for that. So I go out of the machine. It's not on any of the front panel, you know, where everything is out there to be seen. Nothing about steam anything. I'm like, that's interesting. So I went back online and I looked at the picture, which I hadn't done before. Looked at the actual close-up picture. I looked at the picture, but not the close-up picture. And on the selections, there's steam clearly indicated all over this panel. I go back and I look at my panel. No steam. So I look at the model number, check the model number, the basic model. I have the wrong machine in my house to clean what I wanted to clean and be. I wanted a feature on it I didn't even know anything about so I could say I got the latest or something. So I call them up. Oh, that's a problem. Just a minute. And so they come back to the phone and they go, you have the wrong machine. I said, I knew that. Thank you for confirming and not saying, oh, no, we got the right one to you. Because I went through all this research for a half hour to make sure before I called you. So they, they call back and they say, okay, yeah, we're going to call the other lady who has your machine and tell her she's now getting a downgraded machine and you will get your upgraded machine. I thought, well, I don't have to make that call. Thank you, Jesus. So they come back to me and they say, okay, when are you available? I said, well, I'll be available tomorrow afternoon. Okay, we'll deliver it. And sure enough, they called ahead. We're on our way with your machine. Okay, thank you. Very nice. Everyone was so nice. So they show up with the machine, and the one guy that it was a two-person team, so the one guy who had delivered it before, he looked a little sheepish, but he also looked like, I'm going to show you that this is the right machine. He's a bit younger than me, you know. And so I thought, okay. I said, I really looked carefully to make sure you weren't bringing this to me. You know, let's go look. Let's go look at the machine. So I go into the machine and say, well, before you start with what you think, let me tell you, no steam. It's supposed to say steam right there. And it's supposed to say steam, 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 steam. I'm like four selections. And, oh, I was saying it nice. I mean, and this is the 5200 that I need, and this is the 5000. Okay, we'll get that out of the truck right now. So they go, they get it out, they get it in there, and the other guy's being super, super nice, you know, and everything. And he's, you can get those marks off the floor. There's no problem. I said, no, thank you. Hey, this is great. Thank you. Oh, it says steam. And it says steam, 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 steam. And he goes, yeah, looks like you have the right machine. I said, I do. And I think, how many would miss that? God, you spoke to me and said, you had the wrong machine. It's not going to clean like you think it's going to clean. How many are in the wrong dinghy? They should be on the big ship. Get upgraded. Go to the big ship where there's steam that you can, somewhere on that ship that you can experience. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you. I'm off the rails, Lord. Bring it back on. Jesus, you're good. You're so wonderful. We need your joy to do any of this. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Even though we're not going to be on a cruise ship or a pleasure cruise, you will make it pleasurable because it'll be deep richness in our souls. It'll be deep richness in our spirits that we're accomplishing the will of God in the way you intended. We're offering ourselves afresh. We're putting ourselves on the altar, as we used to say. We're repenting. We're lining up with you. It's not about frontline. It's not about Bill and Mary Pat. It's about you. You're the admiral. We're supposed to be listening to your commands and your assignments, Lord. Give that deep in our hearts in a new, fresh way. And let us see the freedom that it brings to be who we were meant to be. All this struggling around in lesser vessels gets us nowhere. We can't even follow the buoys, Lord Jesus. But on the big ship as you've designed, when we're all sailors, no one's a passenger. Everyone has something to do significant. God, you will bring us to the destinations, to the destiny that you want us to be. Thank you, God. Bless each person here. Bless them richly. God, bring to their lives what you have for them in fullness. In Jesus' name, amen.